I'm going to talk about playing cards. Can we lighten it up just for a moment here? I like to play cards, card games, you know, playing cards, card games. We're not old school Southern Baptists at our house, so we can do that, right? We can actually get the cards out, shuffle them, deal them out, play a little cards. I like to play cards because it's a competition, because I like to win. I'd like to say that I win every time that I play cards, but my family's pretty good at playing cards. We like to play games like Progressive Rummy, things like Hand and Foot. We played a game called Tens last night at the dinner table, and I did win that game, right? I did win. I won. I was a tough one on that game. No luck involved in any of these card games. It's all skill. Anyway, play a little game called Golf. It's a card game called Golf. Anyway, so we like card games. And every once in a while, we play poker. I know, you're like, what? Texas Hold'em, to be exact. My wife really doesn't like that game, but I'll get the guys, you know, we'll play a little Texas Hold'em. And before you go judging the pastor, you know, we don't have money on the line, and we're not down at the casino in a smoke-filled room or anything like that. We're just playing cards, having a good time, right? And Texas Hold'em can be a fun game. One of the things about Texas Hold'em, and I'm going to use this as an example. Yes, I'm using Texas Hold'em in a sermon. All right. So one of the things in Texas Hold'em that you do is that if you really believe you have the best hand, the unbeatable hand, and you want to show some strength, and maybe you want to double, triple the number of chips that you have, you'll do something called going all in, right? How many of you have ever played that, right? You go all in, right? Sometimes you do it to bluff, but usually the people who do that end up getting burned and they're gone, they're out. But when you feel like you have the unbeatable best hand, you'll do something called go all in. That's where you put all your chips right there on the line. You risk everything for the win. You risk it all for the win. And I was thinking about this week, as I was thinking about the church and how should we live in such a time as this, and how should have we been living. And obviously, going forward, how should we live? Well, I feel like we should be living like Jesus. And Jesus went all in. I think we should be living like those who understand that we have the best hand. In fact, we have, as believers, those hidden in Christ Jesus who are walking in Christ now, not in ourselves. We have the unbeatable hand of life right now. We can't be beat. We have the victory in Christ Jesus. So if anyone on this earth is willing to risk it all and go all in, it should be us, the body of Christ, the church. We can't be beat. And so the title of today's message is Going All In. And I just added a subtitle this morning, so it's not on the screen, but guaranteed victory. Going all in, guaranteed victory. Turn with me to the Gospel of John chapter 6. The Gospel of John chapter 6, Jesus is preaching. Verse 56 is where we're going to pick this up. Jesus says, just this very casually, just kind of makes this statement, and says, whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood remains in me, and I in them. Just as the living Father sent me, and I live because of the Father, so the one who feeds on me will live because of me. This is the bread that came down from heaven. Your ancestors ate manna and died, but whoever feeds on this bread will live forever. Verse 59 says, he said this while teaching in the synagogue at Capernaum. So he wasn't just in some safe little home group with a bunch of people who all agreed with him and would be easily, you know, able to process this with him. He did this in a synagogue in a buzzing town on the Sea of Galilee called Capernaum. I've been there. It's a beautiful place, man, right on the sea. Beautiful place. So he's preaching in the synagogue. He said this while he's in the synagogue, this casual little statement about eating his flesh and drinking his blood, right? And then on hearing this, many of his disciples said, this is hard teaching. Who can accept it? Aware that his disciples were grumbling about this, Jesus said to them, does this offend you? Does my teaching offend you? Does truth offend you? Then what if you see the Son of Man ascend to where he was before? The Spirit gives life. The flesh counts for nothing. The words I have spoken to you, they are full of the Spirit and life. Yet there are some of you who do not believe. For Jesus had known from the beginning which of them did not believe and who would betray him. And so then he went on to say, verse 65, this is why I told you that no one who can come to me unless the Father has enabled them. And so from this time, many of his disciples did what? They turned back, man. They ran for the hills and no longer followed him. And Jesus said, you do not want to leave too, do you? They'd say in Latin, et tu, Brute? Jesus asked the 12. And Simon Peter answered him and said, Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. We have come to believe and to know that you are the Holy One of God. And so when the going got tough, when it became hard, when it became unpopular to follow Jesus, most people faded away. They just retreated back into regular, safe, go along to get along kind of life. But there was a remnant. There was a small group of these 12 men, pretty much led by Peter, because I believe he was just the loudest. How many of you are married to one of those? My wife is raising her hand right now. He's just the loudest. That's why he's leading. Anyway, no. There's this remnant, about 12 disciples. And this remnant, they took the opposite approach. Instead of walking away from Jesus when it became hard and difficult and unpopular, they went all in. They doubled down, as you've heard it in the poker lingo, right? They doubled down. They doubled down. Lord, to whom shall we go? Where else are we going to go, God? You and you alone have the words of eternal life. We're all in. We're all in. Later on in his life, Peter was once again demonstrating this all-in principle and that he wasn't going to waver. He wasn't going to run away from Jesus, but he was going to continue to follow him and trust him at all times, no matter what. So Peter's in front of the Sanhedrin. That's all the religious people and the leaders of Israel, the Jewish people at the time. So again, this is a very public place. He's not in a small group with everybody who just believes and is going to nod their head and say, amen, brother. All right? So as they say, he's risking it for the biscuit. Risk it for the biscuit. Anyway, I don't know where that came from, but I got kids, okay, teenagers and stuff. So anyway. So he's in front of the Sanhedrin, the council of these Jewish leaders, and he was being pressured by these leaders to tone down his message. That sound familiar? Tone down your message, or we're going to shut down your Twitter account. Maybe we should just shut our own Twitter accounts down. Just saying, right? So anyway, tone down your message. And Peter replied this way. This is Peter's response when he said, tone down your message. Stop talking about that guy, Jesus. Stop telling the gospel. Just say what we tell you to say, what we've always taught you to say. Peter's response was, salvation is found in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given to mankind by which we must be saved. That's called going all in. Tone it down. Just got to speak truth. I got to speak truth because that's what the world needs to hear. So in the face of being mocked by culture, in the potential of being persecuted, the threat of jail and prison, Peter bet all his chips, he bet all of his life on Jesus. And so must we. We should be no different than Peter at this time. Point number one, all in is all in. All in is all in. Pretty simple, huh? What does it look like for a believer to go all in? Let's just look at the life of Jesus. He gave us the example. He's not asking us to do anything that he hasn't already done. All right? Jesus shows us what it looks like to go all in. He stepped down from his place of comfort and safety and royalty at the right hand of the Father in heaven. And he put on flesh and became a man, one of us, and had to deal with the messed up world. He was mocked, he was ridiculed, and he was crucified cruelly, violently on a cross. But he had a mission. He knew what he was called to do, and he went all in. He went all in. And of course, he had the best hand in the end. And what happened? He got all the chips. He won. He won. But that's what it looks like to go all in. You see, all in is all in. All in means holding nothing back, from God. And so we're thinking about, how do we deal with the world right now? Things seem like they're shifting quite a bit in our world right now. How do we process? How do we live in this kind of reality? We don't hold anything back from God. We don't double down on our safety and our protection and our resources. We double down on not holding anything back from God and trusting Him. The Apostle Paul said it this way: whatever you do, we love this, whatever you do, do for the glory of God. Okay, yeah, I'm going to shoot the basket and score for the glory of God or whatever. But listen, whatever you do, think about yourself right now. Whatever you do, every single day, all of your plans, all your activities, whatever you do, first and foremost, you should be doing it for the glory of God. Not for the protection or pleasure of yourself, but for the glory of God. Do we find personal protection and pleasure in doing the glory of God and glorifying God? Sure we do. And I would argue we find a whole lot more when we're all in and fully submitted and doing things God's way. A whole lot more. A whole lot more blessing and a lot less heartache. How many of you have gotten in a lot of trouble doing things for yourself? Come on. Oh, two hands. All right. That's me. I hear a lot of people, though, today, and I was thinking about this week, I hear a lot of people talking about this thing called me time. How many of you have heard that? Me time. You know, I just need some me time. And I'd argue that there's really no such thing as me time for the Jesus follower. I just want to say that clearly right now. It sounds so good. I need me time. I need to take care of myself. I need to just like, you know, I just need that veg me time, and I'm guilty of this, okay? I'm preaching. I do this, and I got three fingers coming right back at me and poking me in the eye and slapping me upside the head when I'm preaching, okay? So I hope everybody knows that. When I'm preaching to myself. I've had to wrestle with this stuff all week long, conviction, all right? So I want you to share in some of that with me, all right? Okay, make sure we all understand that. Me time. Galatians 2:20 says, I've been crucified with Christ, so I get a bunch of me time. No. I've been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live, but it's Christ who lives in me. My life is never about me time. It's about Christ time. It's about Jesus time. Not the easiest thing to do, though, to go all in, to make every day about Jesus. It's definitely not the easiest thing. Our flesh fights against it big time. Doesn't it? Isn't it hard? Do the right thing? I just started this new diet yesterday, and I was supposed to start it a year and a half ago, but it's hard to do the right thing. You know what I'm saying? So finally, I just had to say, well, why don't I just start today? I'm going to preach a message about going all in. Come on, Eric. You know, if you're going to preach it, do it. And so I'm having a salad for lunch, just letting you know that. It's not always the easiest thing to do what the Lord's calling us to do and to live for Him and to go all in. But Jesus said this, Matthew 16, 25. He said, but whoever wants to save their life will lose it. But whoever loses their life for me will find it. And so I get this song jumping in my head, Jesus paid it all. And so what's the next statement? All to him I owe. Jesus paid it all. Because of that, all to him I owe. I love him because he first loved me. I go all in because he first went all in for me. I just want to say this. I feel like I should say this before I keep moving on here. That I'm not saying that every single person here is supposed to go into full-time ministry, that's not everybody's calling. Believe me, it's not everybody's calling. But whatever we're doing, whatever job site we're on, whatever office we're in, whatever meeting we're in, whatever project we're doing around the house, whatever that might be, we can be doing it as unto the glory of God, and we can be praying at all times, and we can be being led by the Spirit in every single activity that God has us doing for his glory. So I just want to make sure I stated that before we move on. But Jesus did pay it all, church. And so all to him we owe. All to him. I'll tell you that the deeper that we get with God, the more we realize that less me time and more Jesus time is always better. And I would say try him on this. Less me time and more Jesus time is always better. So let's kind of look internally a little bit. This is your time to be with the Lord, and maybe you want to close your eyes right now just to kind of focus on the Lord and let the Holy Spirit speak with you right now. But maybe you ought to ask yourself, where are you holding back? Where might you be holding back personally? Here's another way to look at it. Where are you playing it safe? A lot of us here in the United States, we've fallen into that rut of playing it safe. And a safe life is a godly life. I would say that's the furthest from the truth. Where are you holding back? Where are you playing it safe? You playing it safe with your finances and your time? And are you holding on to those things? And what chips are you afraid of losing? Your reputation? Even your personal freedom? Let's go to point number two. Holding back leads to sorrow. Holding back leads to sorrow. Jesus had an encounter with a man called the rich young ruler. He was obviously rich. He was young, and he was some sort of a ruler. And this young man, he had decided to sit back and know Jesus on his own terms. That's really what we're looking at in this guy's life. He wanted to know Jesus, and he wanted Jesus, but he wanted Jesus on his own terms. He wanted Jesus without being fully surrendered to him. But Jesus wanted more for this man. He wanted more for this man than just a comfortable life where he was provided for and everything seemed to be going his way. Jesus wanted for this man the blessings that only happen when we take the next step with the Lord, that only happen when we extend ourselves and trust God with everything and in all things, and we live by faith. We live on mission. We live for something greater, something eternal. Here's how it went down with this rich young ruler, Matthew 19. You're familiar with the story. I think it's applicable for us today. Let's not be like this guy, because here's what happened with him. Then the man came to Jesus. He asked, "Teacher, what good thing must I do to have eternal life?" And Jesus answered, "If you want to be perfect," in other words, if you really want to do this life the right way, if you want to be perfect, then go sell your possessions and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven, then come follow me. When the young man heard this, he went away sad because he had great wealth. It's an indication that he didn't want to go all in. Now this guy, Jesus isn't asking for all of our money, go sell everything you have today you know, and just give it all away right now. And he's not necessarily telling, if he's telling you that, he's telling you that, but he's not telling everybody that. So just understand that. What he's telling this guy is, look, there are areas of your life where you are holding back. There are areas of life that you are trusting in. And you have to release trust in that area of your life and trust me completely in that area, or there are not places that you're going to be able to go with me. You're just not going to be able to go where I'm going. You're going to miss out. And the guy understood that, yet he was unwilling to go all in, and he walked away sad. But let's contrast that with what Jesus tells his disciples, those who did go all in. Check this out. This is found in Matthew 19, verse 27. Peter answered him, "We've left everything to follow you. We have gone all in. We left our businesses because you called us to follow you. We did everything. We left it all. We left our reputation behind. We left it all to follow you. What then will there be for us?" And Jesus said, "Truly I tell you, at the renewal of all things, when the Son of Man sits on his glorious throne, you who have followed me, you who went all in, will also sit on 12 thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel. And everyone who has left houses or brothers or sisters or father or mother or wife or children or fields for my sake will receive 100 times as much and will inherit eternal life." Hold back. Be afraid to go all in. There's sorrow at the end of that path. Trust God. Risk it all for him. We have the best hand, remember? But risk it all for him, and there's blessing. 100 times, eternal life. God's promises are yes and amen, church. Yes and amen. Yet the church is still filled with so many people who want to play it safe and protect their chips and protect their lives. Keep some of their life for themselves. I want to just say this right now. If that's you, if you really know in your mind, and maybe you've even said this in your own mind, I'm going to keep this area for myself. I'm just going to hold on to this one thing. I know it's out of the will of God. I know it's not how I should be living. It's not what I should be doing. I should surrender this to the Lord. If you have an area like that in your life, I want to encourage you. Let this year, let this week be the year and the week that you let it go. And you go all in and trust God. He will backfill that area, that time, that need of your life with true blessing and true hope and true joy and true purpose. You can trust him on that. Alfred Lord Tennyson. Now, this is not in the Bible, and I'm not saying that this guy is like at all even. Anyway, you hear what I'm saying, right? This is just a guy that I think has a statement that can be important for us right now as we process truth, God's word. He says, "It's better to have tried and failed than to live life wondering what would have happened if I had tried. What would happen if I surrendered that? What would happen if I walked away from that thing that I know isn't God's will? What would happen if I really just went all in? What would happen if I trusted God and I used the gifts that he's given me and I actually pursued that thing, that desire, that mission that he put in my heart and my spirit all those years ago? What would happen if I just actually risked it and went all in?" You'll never know unless you go and do it. And you'll never have the benefit and the blessing that God intends to release because of that if you don't just go for it and do it. So I want to encourage us this year, church, that we're going to be a church that's just going to go for it. We're going to go for it. Let's go for it. And let's trust God in it. Now, we're not just going to go for it with whatever willy-nilly thing that we come up with. We want to hear the voice of the Lord. We want to see and understand his plan and his mission for such a time as this, for this church and for each one of us. And then we want to go in confidence. Confidence. I don't want to finish my life with regrets and sorrow. And I know you don't either. I've already had enough regrets and sorrow in my life. Plenty of looking back and go, man, what if I would have done that 15 years ago? Well, you know what? I can't look back, but I can look forward. And I can decide, you know what? Today is the day of the Lord. Today, his mercies are new. And today, I can go all in, and I can risk it. I keep saying risk it, and I keep remembering that we have an unbeatable hand. So anyway, it's not that big of a risk. And I want us to be an environment like it says in Hebrews 10:24. Let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds. I really believe this is going to be a year where we're helping identify what God has planted and placed in each one of us this year, and we can call those God-given talents and gifts and callings out. We can encourage one another to step forward and to step out into those amazing things that God has for us as we go all in. We're doing it together. So let's make 2021 a year where we leave regret and sorrow behind. Let's make 2021 a year where we move forward in faith. We go all in and we experience and we feel what it really means to be fully alive in Christ. Amen? All right, I'm not done preaching yet, but we're getting close. Point number three, all in leaves a legacy. I want to hit this one pretty quickly. A guy named Barnabas, if you don't know much about Barnabas in the New Testament, he did ministry with Paul. He's a great guy. You need to read about this man and learn from this guy and his ministry. The Word of God calls him a good man full of the Holy Spirit. That's in Acts 11:24. But this guy, he said yes to Jesus. He got saved, and he decided, I'm going to go all in. And so he started investing heavily into the mission of the church, that early church of that time, selling his stuff and reorganizing his time and his priorities and saying, God, here I am, use me. And before he knew it, God took this faithful man and he partnered him with Paul. Come on. That's amazing. So he's like Paul's ministry partner for a season, for several years, and he's going all throughout Asia Minor and Europe, building the church, growing the body of Christ, being used to leave an amazing legacy for the kingdom of heaven. And he's a picture of the reality that when we go all in for Jesus, it not only changes our life, but it also changes the generations that follow us. And you know what? Our world needs that right now. A church that's thinking beyond just today, but thinking forward into what are we leaving the generation that's coming up behind us and the generation after that. So we need to go all in, and I believe that we'll be used like Barnabas to leave an amazing godly legacy. When we choose coming together for worship and prayer, when we choose to be in God's presence, to be together, gathering of the saints, what are we doing? We are actually investing in leaving a legacy. Just even our gathering right now, this is part of leaving a legacy because God moves in our gatherings. When we plant churches in Ghana, Africa, which we've planted many, many churches in Ghana, Africa with Pastor Emmanuel and Evident Life Church over there, it's been a blessing. When we do that, when we make those investments and those special offerings, we are leaving a legacy. When we minister to the homeless here at Evident Life Church and we make investments in that of our time and our resources and our building and what God's given us, we are leaving a legacy. Lives are being changed. History is being made that affects generations. Because you know what? We're not just feeding with food and water, but we're also bringing the gospel. And we're seeing people get saved and transformed and filled and freed. And Lord, we ask that you would even have more of that happen as we're starting to once again be able to host these guests of ours, Lord, that we would see men and women coming alive in Christ Jesus, that we would see Jesus receiving the reward of his suffering as not only water and food are being received in shelter, God, but the gospel, salvation is being experienced as a result of this ministry. That's leaving a legacy, church. When we engage in our culture, when we expose darkness, when we bring Jesus, when we bring truth, when we push back these things in our culture that are destroying families and children and confusing kids in their schools, when we do this, when we actually show up, We are leaving a legacy. Look at what the church has done. If it wasn't for the church, there would be no change in abortion right now in this nation. But in this state, for instance, the abortion rate has been going down. Why? Because the church engaged. If the church did not engage in this 30, 35 years ago and begin to show up and minister and bring Jesus and love and care and truth into this situation, we would be even in worse shape than we are right now. But when the church shows up and invests and is the very presence of God in all these different ways, we're leaving a legacy. When we minister to one another, encourage one another, build each other up, come alongside of one another when we're going through difficult times in our families, our marriages, our health, whatever it might be, we are leaving a legacy. We're looking into, I believe it's going to happen, it continues to build and the opportunities continue to show themselves, is that we're looking for, one of the things we're looking to do in 2021 to leave a legacy is to create a Christian education program for Evident Life Church families. So if there's a family at Evident Life Church that wants their children out of the public school system and into Christian worldview school arena, meaning homeschool or a private Christian school, we want to come alongside that family and help make that happen for them. Not just with ideas, but also resources. And some of those financial resources, we want to be the body of Christ. And why do I say that? Because we are charged to raise up our children in the way they should go and they will not depart. And I've just come to the conclusion now after all these years that instead of things getting better right now for our kids in the public education system, they're getting worse and they're getting programmed. We're seeing it. Generations now have shown us that we have children who are not being encouraged to have a relationship with Jesus, but the exact opposite, very aggressive anti-Christ messages that are going out. And again, I thank God for the Christian teachers that are in there that are bringing some light into that area of darkness. Keep up the good work. Remain faithful to that. But in the meantime, we are challenged and we are charged as parents to be pouring Christ into our kids and raising them up and strengthening them so that they're strong enough to stand for the Lord when the going gets tough. So we're going to step into that arena this year by God's grace and leave a legacy. Point number four, what's your next step? And I imagine that most of us have some idea of what our next step is. What's the next step we need to take? What's the next step you need to take to go all in? I mean, it could start with something as you need to go all in and submit your marriage to the Lord. That might be speaking to some even right now this morning. That might be the next step that you need to do to go all in with God this year and see what God will do with that. Submit it to the Lord. Don't try to make it happen or to make him happen or her happen on your own, but let's submit it to God and let's come alongside each other with godly counsel and help and build each other up in that. In Christ Jesus, you have a 100% chance, 100% guarantee of a successful marriage in a marriage that goes all in for Jesus, both parties all in for Jesus. Maybe your next step is engaging in corporate prayer with the body of Christ. You felt called to do that, but man, it just seems like there's so many other things, and I'm telling you what, the Lord has called his entire church to be part of the royal priesthood, and I understand that all of us aren't available always at the prayer time, or we have seasons of life and we can't be there every single week. Some of us travel for business and other things like that. It's understandable. But instead of watching Netflix and another Netflix series on a Wednesday night, maybe let's come along with the people of God for an hour as we are the royal priesthood and seek God and get into his presence and intercede for this nation and for others. Maybe that's the next step that God's calling you to. Maybe it's getting involved in a Bible study because you've been struggling getting in the Word of God and seeing how it applies to your life. I want to encourage you, get in a Bible study. We have several. We have men's studies, women's studies. Our youth ministry is like so amazing as it relates to the Bible. Your kids are getting strong Bible teaching in our youth ministry. Maybe this year is the year to step into that mysterious area of the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And to actually do what Paul, the Apostle Paul, encouraged us to do, that's eagerly desire the gifts of the Spirit. It's mysterious, though, Pastor. It's kind of scary. It's kind of weird. I get it. But it's in the Word of God. It's something that the Lord has incorporated into the life of His church. And sometimes we got to step into some things that are mysterious that we just don't understand. But we do it in faith, and we do it grounded in the Word of God. So we have a workshop that's starting next Sunday after church at noon that's going to be an opportunity to explore and the baptism of the Holy Spirit and the gifts of the Holy Spirit. That'll be at noon, immediately following our second service next Sunday. We should be doing that every single month. A couple of our elders are going to lead that gathering. You know what your next step is. The Lord is revealing it. And if you don't know, just ask God, and He won't keep it from you. He'll let you know. And it might be something really simple that once you surrender that and go all in, it can make all the difference for this year. Go for it. I'd like for you to stand up. I want to read Philippians 3, verses 13 through 15 over us. And if you feel comfortable and you just want to raise your hand in a posture of receiving from the Lord, even right now, or how about this, as a posture of surrender to God and coming into agreement with this word over your life, feel free to do that. Scripture says, brothers and sisters, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it, but one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining toward what is ahead. In other words, going all in, God, I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. And so all of us then who are mature should take such a view of things. And if some point you to think differently, that too God will make clear to you. So Lord, we come before you right now. God, we are your church. We are your people. And we trust you, just as we prayed earlier. God, we trust you. And God, it is truly our desire to go all in. Holy Spirit, we don't do it in our strength, so lead us and guide us into all godliness. Have your way in our lives and be glorified, Jesus, this year. Move us into those callings that you have and into the giftings that you have for each one of us and also as a corporate body, Lord. God, we move into this year with confidence and hope and faith because you are our rock. You are our foundation. Amen. Amen.